Jesus, Ray.
Oh. This is a practical impossibility. It's ringing.
Ray.
What?
Love the show.
Hey. This is the Ray Foley Podcast.
Let's pod away. Hello there, Ray Foley is my name. There's my friend JP.
Hello.
And the Podfather.
Podfather.
Podfather. Sorry, I'm just looking at my wife. Sorry, answering the doorbell at home. He's trying to sell her something. God love her. He's after ringing my video doorbell, and now I'm watching him try and sell my wife, I don't know, broadband or electricity. Wouldn't it be amazing if he could hear me talking about them now? It's like all of this commentary from me is coming out of my doorbell as he's trying to do the upselling. I'm going to hang up. Some of these door-to-door salespeople are really effective.
Well, like, they'd want to be. They only have a certain amount of time to capture your attention and your focus.
I am brilliant at shutting them down. I'm just brilliant. Same with the muggers or the chuggers on the streets, the charity. Hi, have you got a second? Or they do this waving thing at you when you've got your headphones on. Like this waving, and I just wave back. And I keep walking. And I do exactly the same thing at my front door. I put on headphones before I answer the door and I just wave and I close the door again. My response is, oh, my wife does that. Or, well, yeah, we're already witchy.
Is that a lie?
Yeah.
You can't lie about that.
Yeah, you can.
You can tell somebody in the charity front.
No,
if
not
you're
the charity.
Already
no.
With the charity.
No,
oh,
sorry,
yeah,
no.
I'm talking,
if it's someone calling to the door.
Right.
And we don't really get charities at the door. That's because we're probably, where we live is, we're uber tight and you're wasting your time. But we get a lot of, do you want to switch your energy provider and broadband? They're the two biggies that we get at the front door. And when they call, I go, which one are you? And they go, Electric Ireland. I go, oh, we're already witchy.
Last weekend, I was going to St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre here in up in Dublin.
Up in Dublin?
Up in Dublin. It's just actually over the road from where we are now. And two guys who were casually dressed, but quite clean shaven, clean cut, walked up to me near where the Tony Quinn Health kiosk is. Do you know that part of it? So it's on the ground floor.
This is in the shopping centre.
Yeah, sorry, I thought
you said it was out in the street, right?
No, in the shopping centre. So I'm just walking along, minding my own business. These two clean-cut lads approach me inside in the shopping centre and they say, oh, one second. So they get my attention. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. What is it? They're probably looking for a shop or something like that. They want directions to Dunn's or something. And the guy has an English accent, right?
Straight away, no then.
It's a no from me. And I'm out of the conversation. And he says, we're just over visiting. And I'm like, in my head, I'm going, tourists, they want direction to somewhere. I love giving tourists directions. It makes me feel good about myself. I'm helping. He says, yeah, hello, we're just visiting. We're over visiting. And we're actually doing this project involved in Christianity. And
oh, Jesus.
Because I was expecting if it was Jehovah's Witness or somebody, they would be one American and they wouldn't approach me inside in a shopping center. It'd be more out in the street. And I have to tell you, and this is no knock on anyone who has belief or believes in
faith,
Jesus or any kind of God that they believe in. As soon as the word Christianity was out of his mouth, I smiled and I said, sorry, lads, I'm not your guy, but best of luck, okay? And then I moved on.
Oh, that's
I
it.
Just, I shut
oh,
it down oh, immediately.
No, I just let you go. He had no follow up or anything.
What could he say?
This is inside in the shopping centre.
That was what was weird about it. You'd expect
that's
to be
not allowed unless they have a license or something. Unless they're paying for that.
They definitely shared a kind of uniform in terms of they were dressed similarly. They weren't wearing suits, but they were dressed similarly. It was definitely a spiel. They were about to hit me with a pitch. And that was the weirdness. The fact that it happened inside in the shopping centre threw me. I wasn't expecting somebody to say, come here, will you sign up to X or Y project? So that's why it threw me initially. And then just shut it down straight away. I'm just not your guy.
Of course, I wouldn't be your guy either. I remember when we were, Today FM is in Marconi House, up in Dublin, but it used to be over on Abbey Street, over on the other side of the river, also still in Dublin city centre. And nearby was the Church of Scientology. They had I don't know where they are now, but they had an office on Abbey Street, up the street from Today FM. And it would be a fairly regular refrain, like, because I would have been in college. Before I was on the radio on Today FM, I used to do research on Today FM years ago when I was in college. And also in college, I think I remember one of the girls that we were in college with saying that she had been approached and she'd had a long discussion, Had she even gone for the Thetan test?
Oh, yeah.
This is, you know, the machine mm-hmm. that they hook you up. So the Scientologists have this whole spiel where they approach you on the street. Apparently, you know, there's this whole, if you go and watch any of the documentaries, they sell you a sort of, well, no more than any of the religions, really. I suppose it's how they get you in the door. But then once they get you in, then they do a whole sort of thing on measuring your which one of them is the Star Wars and the other one?
I know what you're, is it Metachlorians or something? But are they not the crystals that drive the USS Enterprise?
Now you're just...
I don't know.
Now
I know
he's intentionally being silly.
I know what you're referring to with that Thetans test, though.
Oh, it's Thetans.
It is something like that, yeah.
So there's Metachlorians, which is... I think that's Star Wars. If you've got loads of Metachlorians and you're a young person, then they measure you for the Metachlorians, and then that makes you... The more Metachlorians you have, the more force sensitive you are, and you might be an ideal candidate to be a Jedi. And it's not an entirely dissimilar thing with Thetans. They measure you for your level of that and hook you up to a machine and ask you loads of questions, like personal questions, apparently, about your life and about...
I think it's about measuring your personal traumas and that kind of thing and stress in your life and all that sort of stuff. I watched a couple of documentaries on Scientology in the last few months.
Anyway.
None of them have good things to say, unfortunately.
When we were working... I'm not going one way or the other. I've heard things. I've no experience of them. And this is my complaint. I worked on Abbey Street for several years as a young man in his 20s, making pretty good money in my 20s at the time. And I was never, not once, ever approached. And just about everyone else I knew had been or had a moment of, hiya, Church of Scientology, I'm just wondering if you might be interested. They took one look at me, obviously, and decided, nah, don't want his type.
He doesn't have it.
He doesn't have enough of them. They could tell that whatever machine they have in their pocket, it wasn't clicking.
It weren't beeping.
It wasn't clicking as I was walking past. So they're like, no, they just let that lad keep on walking. We don't want, he's not scientific enough for the Scientologists. So I was never approached. And I've never been approached for religion or anything like that.
No, I have.
I've been approached by Sky, you know, Sky, another cult in many ways. Once they get you in, it's very hard to leave. I was approached by Sky by a random man at a counter, and then you've got your chuggers and your muggers. Apparently, Martin King has a stand in Dundrum.
What?
Martin King? Did you know this?
For what? What?
Oh my God! A friend of mine sent me a photograph. Former Today FM colleague through, I suppose, tangentially through the telly, through my occasional work and his ongoing work on Virgin Media Television. A friend of mine sent me a photograph of Martin King at a stand in Dundrum shopping centre.
What's he selling?
He's selling the weather. He's selling mentions on the weather. No, he's selling candles. His wife Jenny is selling fragrant or smelly candles. And he's you do as you're told. He's the husband, and he was roped in to flog a few candles for Jenny.
If I saw Martin King at a kiosk selling just about anything, I would stop and chat. Definitely. I will take a sample, Martin.
You're talking about pure, because I had to clear it up for him. I had to go, oh yeah, his missus is in the candle business now. But there it is. He says, Martin King, literally the text to say, it's a photograph of Martin King behind the counter at the little kiosk on the laptop. And he says, my friend who texted me, he said, Martin King selling candles. I think it's pretty definitive. It's an eyewitness account of Martin King selling smelly candles.
Martin King has a way about him that suggests, I'd imagine, he's quite a good salesman.
Anyway,
he's got great people skills. Who amongst us has worked in a sales position, like proper sales? You have to convince. You're not working at a till. I've worked in a chipper at a till, and I've worked in Dunn stacking shelves.
What about your Brown Thomas job at sales?
This is what I'm getting to.
You liked it then, did you?
I would say, after radio, obviously, it is the next thing I would love to do and loved doing. The engagement with somebody you've never met before
and trying
to work out who they are, what they're about, what they've come in for, and how you can, within the bounds of good taste and being a nice person, get them to buy other stuff as well and get them to appreciate the fact that they are buying more stuff now and thinking that they wanted to buy that stuff in the first place. I love that game. It felt very much like a game because you're kind of selling yourself, getting them to buy into you and to trust you, and then hopefully having them walk away with something they do end up being happy with.
It's amazing.
I love that.
You can either do it or you can't. My dad is an amazing salesperson, and he worked in sales in his entire life and very talented at it. Even growing up, the concept of sales and how it works and relating to people and making them like you and then liking you enough to buy from you with my personality.
Ray, the fourth quarter's been particularly bad.
That was a knowing laugh.
Well, it's what you were suggesting anyway.
You're both like, never. And then I would get really wrapped up, I'd say, in my own head in the middle of it. Mm. Like, I'd have to have a real connection with someone. And you're talking about maybe 5% of the population coming through the doors of Brown Thomas. Or what? In your case, it was Brown Thomas. I always remember you at the time, because we were friends when you were working at Brown Thomas. I remember you telling me Dave Fanning was in today buying clothes in Brown Thomas.
Ken Doherty came in to buy a pair of black leather trousers that we did not have. So I'd say, ooh, you might want to try Arnott's. So we did not stock leather trousers. And nor did I think Ken Doherty, snooker playing legend, would want leather trousers.
Ken, have you considered Unique for Men? Unique menswear in St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. All leather goods. What was Dave Fanning like?
I don't remember meeting Dave Fanning, but I don't
remember you.
That
I'm such an anorak that you came and told me, and then you told me that you met Dave Fanning, and it was I don't remember.
I do remember meeting friend of the show and all round legend Brian Kennedy in there, and him being quite flirtatious, such to the point where I reminded him of it years later when I met him through radio, and he said, "Yeah, I don't remember that." I thought at the time, but I was like 19 years old, I was like, Brian Kennedy's in there flirting with me. This is great crack.
Brian Kennedy rolls out of bed, he starts flirting, along with breathing, singing incredible high notes, Northern Irish accent, long hair, flirting. They're just things he does naturally. On the subject of Dave Fanning, actually, Dave Fanning was getting roasted again for the BBC called him. It's funny, we had Dave Fanning on when, Sinead O'Connor died. With Dave Fanning on, and jokingly we said to him at the beginning of the call here, don't get us cancelled, because he'd already gotten in trouble for bad timing, I suppose, is the issue, is that if you're getting a phone call in the couple of days after someone's death, then the brief is, I suppose, to pay tribute, not to be brutally honest. Who else? It was Christy Dignam, and then was there somebody else?
I thought it was just Christy Dignam, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Christy, Sinead, and then Shane recently.
Are you sure?
Unless there was somebody international, I can't think of anyone else he would have been talking about.
Then he wasn't on with us talking about Sinead. We were talking to him about you too, weren't we? JP's looking it up now.
I will find it.
He's tipping and tapping and typing. It was the Beatles song.
Oh, it was the return of the Beatles with that last song. You're right, Ray. Well done.
And I said, but the thing is, he's been plugged into music and Irish music for generations. He's probably been there in the front row watching them come up and make names for themselves in the music industry. So then he's perfectly positioned then to give his opinion on their career, on their contribution to music and their lives and whatnot. But the brief is, keep it positive. This is a tribute. Don't say anything negative. But Dave is, I think, at a stage of his life where he is going to say warts and all, I suppose. So he'll say the positives, which he does generally, even in the negative ones. But then he will also say things that are negative. And then that's the things that people will focus on, because it's not appropriate for the time. So he was talking about Shane McGowan last week. I suppose in a lot of the coverage of Shane, it has all been the lionizing of him and his contribution. And of course, he was incredible. But then Dave, on the BBC. Do you know what? I didn't see word for word, but I'm guessing, did he address addiction or drinking or anything like that?
It was about songwriting, if I remember correctly.
Oh, Jesus, Dave!
It had been said in many of the tributes, obviously, that Shane McGowan, as he was, outstanding songwriter. I think somebody put it to him that, you know, this was one of the best songwriters of his generation, was the quote. And Dave just took issue with that. You know, the world's a big place, and there were a lot of stratospherically talented and absolutely internationally huge artists writing songs.
Red rag.
And he made the point that while Shane had a particular talent and was very, very talented, he may not. There could be a dispassionate argument made that he was not necessarily objectively the best or one of the very best songwriters of a generation.
Right.
That was the point he was making, which is, you know, a fair point that somebody can have. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But the timing is the question.
So it's just the time. So I generally am on Team Dave. It's a funny one, because I was never a listener of Dave Fanning's when I was a teenager. Everyone's like, oh, Dave Fanning, I was listening to him every evening when I was at home. No, I was a Tony listener between 7 and 8 on the hotline. And I was a Dusty or whoever, that 10 p.m. to midnight slot, pop music and whatever. It could have been Aidan Leonard, or there was a bunch of them that did it between 10 and midnight. But Dusty Rhodes would have been the main one when I was a teenager. And I would usually get my homework done while Dave was on. I'd listen to the odd bit of it, and particularly with the bigger songs and the bigger artists, like he would have played Nirvana or whatever, but then he would have gone off-piste and into stuff that you might not be interested in listening to and stuff, and it wouldn't have been my cup of tea. We wouldn't be compatible. He's a muso. He's a He's into, you know, he's a proper credible music broadcaster, something that I would never even attempt to claim any business being in. I'd talk shite and get you to text in your voice notes. And Cash Machine's coming up at 3:30. Matt's on the way next. Have a lovely evening. Talk to you tomorrow from 2:00. That's what I do for a living. Dave does something very different. So I didn't expect that we would get on at all because we're utterly, utterly different people. He's into movies, as you know, and he did a weekly movie bit on the 6 o'clock show. And over time, we started sort of getting on and we kind of, I think we grew on each other, or certainly he grew on me. Maybe I didn't grow on him at all. I'm now Team Dave generally. And I find myself in a situation like that going, just don't book him. Just, do you know what? Dave is like, if you know that there's a risk of him saying something, don't book him. And he's the type of person that he's going to be honest. So you'll get your tributes by all means. And I'm sure you'll get positive things said about the recently deceased individual, Shane McGowan in this case. But just don't book him.
But don't you think cynically on the part of the media organisation, whoever it might be, that they go into it with their eyes open and know that there's the chance that Dave may say something.
Stir in the pot.
That nobody else would say, and they're quite happy for him to say it, then ultimately he has to take the flak for it because he said it, whereas the organisation that broadcast and the platform that gave him the platform get off scot-free and have just put out a provocative piece of media.
I was going to say, well, what was, well, we're all talking about Dave, but we're not talking about the it was the BBC, wasn't it, that he did it on. I got a few messages about our last week's podcast. jp@todayfm.com is the email address, about people sending me nasty messages on social, saying I'm a dickhead or whatever, in comments on videos. I'm much better at ignoring now, right? This is talking about anxiety and how to manage anxiety and deep breathing and all that kind of crack we were talking about last week. I'm much better. I have mechanisms for dealing with anxiety or negative comments or anxiety related to a negative comment or reading something about myself. But anyone who has to read something shitty about themselves, the issue isn't actually dealing with it right away. It's I'll go on about my day and about my life. And then maybe 3 hours later, I'll go, why do I feel like shitty or anxious or crappy? And you go, it's probably because you read that thing earlier on and it's just a negativity that's just hanging around in your brain. So basically someone was, I'll find the message that your man was, it was a lovely message that he sent. And he said, oh, don't be listening to people, blah, blah, blah. It's not really that I'm getting upset about it or anything, but it's just a kind of a shittiness that, like reading text specifically, like if someone rang me and said you're an arsehole, then I go, yeah, okay, thanks, bye, and I'd hang up. But there's something about reading letters that in print that just it's lodged away there in the processing memory, and it's still clicking away while you're doing something else, and it's simmering away, and it's causing some sort of anxiety in the background.
Alan was in touch, right?
He says, Alan!
No, it is Alan, and it's not Al. Steve. It's not Steve.
Al.
It's not Steve.
Alan!
And it's not Dan.
Alan!
What's Dan?
Was Dan there as well?
No, it was
Dan!
I think there's three names. There's Al, Steve, and I think eventually he segues into Dan, doesn't he?
I don't know. I think it's just Alan.
Is it just Alan?
Please hold.
Nice day today. Think about, is it Alan?
Is it Alan?
Alan! Al! Alan!
No, I don't think you can hear me, you know.
Alan! 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 Al! Alan! 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 Alan!
Oh, so that's not Alan.
Steve.
Steve, that.
Steve! 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 Steve!
Oh, no, that's not Steve. That is Alan.
Alan! Alan! Al! Alan! Alan! Alan!
So, this guy's name is Steve, emailing?
Alan.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you were saying. Sorry, go on.
Alan was in touch. He says,
Alan! Oh, Alan! Alan!
Hey, Ray and JP, hope you're well. Listened last night to the latest podcast on worries and anxiety that yourself and JP carry. You mentioned about those keyboard warriors and the likes who put you down whenever a social media post is put up. As a person who suffers from this mental health issues, mainly depression and a little anxiety, just know your show, hilarity? Wit, etc., etc. Thankfully, he puts in the etc's. Always puts a smile on my face and did so at times I didn't feel like smiling. So ignore those tossers. For every one of those haters, there are 100 who enjoy your company and the listenership numbers show that. Be well and take care, he says. Fire emoji.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Alan. And and same to yourself. And good to know you're doing well and you're managing your own situation too. The best thing is mind yourself. It's so obvious and easy, but it's harder done than... it's easier said than done. But yeah, just don't put yourself in situations that's going to make you feel shit.
So. It seems like it struck a chord, that podcast, because Daniel was in touch as well and says, well, lads, just listening to the...
Dad, Steve!
He says, just listen to the latest podcast. Can't say how good it is. He can't or he won't say how good it is to hear ye back chatting on a podcast like the good old days. Just need to get Anne and Nordy Owen back and all will be right with the world. You never know. They might appear at some stage going forward.
Deleted their numbers.
You've cut all ties.
Yeah.
He says, the chat about dealing with shit online was great. It's something that I always find hard to ignore when reading the cesspool that is Twitter, or whatever the hell Musk is calling it these days. So it's kind of nice and comforting to hear that you guys feel the same. Don't get to listen to you during the day as much as anymore since I moved over to Toronto, but always good to see the notification in Spotify that you've posted something, so keep it up, please. Well, that's the Podfather.
The Podfather
posts those. Fuck the haters, he say.
Oh, this is the intention wasn't to be sparking people saying ignore the haters, love the show, blah blah blah. It was just an observation about having read it that maybe that's what was causing the issue.
Cheers, Dan. And I think
I
think if you hear somebody verbalize and say to you why they hate you, think you're an asshole. If they say you're an asshole, your brain hears their voice, hears their tone, and registers it just as that, as exactly that, how they said it. And then you can choose how you deal with that and maybe just toss it off and forget about it. Whereas if you read something in print where it's somebody slagging you off, you then get to pour all of the tone and imagine all of the venom yourself and imprint that into the words. And that makes it stick in your brain more, whereas you're more likely to just toss off the thing that somebody says to you in the street.
The best, most effective insulting version of yourself about yourself that can then uses that against yourself. My biggest concern with the discussion about that last week, by the way, that was a tiny part of what we were talking about last week. It was only an eensy beatsy bit of it. But is that I would hate for anyone that writes shit about me online to hear this and think, oh, it's super effective. Anyone reading anything negative about themselves, like if you were to write Ray Foley, a big fat bollocks or whatever, like to just read it, to know that, you know, anyone reading anything in print about themselves that is negative, it's just going to affect them. But I would hate for them to think, oh yeah, I put that in the comments and he saw that and now he's upset about it. Like, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, but like I say, simmering anxiety tipping away there in the background. Right, thanks so much for downloading the podcast. You can get us wherever you get your pods, on Go Loud or on your various apps, and you can email jp@todayfm.com for your correspondence. We'll talk to you on the next one.
Ray Foley, weekday afternoons from 2 on Today FM.
I love the show. Hey.